You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
11 o'clock hour. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 15 minutes or so. We should have asked, you can text Vinny, what's his pre-workout stuff? What would happen if we took it before the show? He said his heart rate was up. He was energized. He was ready to rock and roll. Yeah, what if we all just took it and just locked in?
Pre-workout's great.
Just locked. I mean, back in college, I took it. It's been a, do you take pre-workout still, Drew?
A lot of times, before I go on runs, I know it's not necessarily like considered like
more of a lifting thing. Yeah.
It's more of a lifting thing. But sometimes I'll take pre-workout before just going and exercising in general.
If we came, if we all just did pre-workout,
does anybody want me?
You talk even louder.
More energetic?
You talk even louder as
well. Yeah, it's kind of like what happens if like anyone's been around me when I just start drinking. I get louder. If you think this level of volume is the loudest I can be consistently, wrong.
I do think I can
get louder.
I will say, if we all, let's say we're all going to the gym and we all took pre-workout, I feel like out of all, like Cody, you might be able to, I think you'd be an animal. You'd be squatting like 400 pounds. You'd be getting after it. Like you'd be.
Someone's you'd smelling go, salts ready. And pre-workout and that's you dangerous. Guys will be ready to roll.
Honestly, at dangerous. This point, I might need it for some remaining Chiefs games based on what I think the rest of the AFC picture is laying out to be. And the Chiefs' chances to actually play
get a thing of
in January.
Salts. Well, I gotta get hyped up for this somehow.
Yeah, let's get jacked up for. You know what? I need it. I need it for the Friday show before Chiefs Titans. That's what I need it for. Because by the time it gets to Friday,
you're saying we all should
Chiefs Titans.
You're saying we should do smelling salts before.
I gotta get amped up on that one.
I think it's more for how about the Week 18 game, which is going to be possibly, you know, Gardner Minshew against Aiden O'Connell or Geno Smith or whoever the hell they got there in Vegas.
Cool. That one. I mean, God, that one's not worse than the Titans one.
It's just as bad, at least for the Titans,
they might still technically be alive for a playoff spot.
If it's Week 18 and the Chiefs are eliminated, that's the one game where I actually could see Mahomes not playing. They're not going to rest Mahomes for four games. I'm just saying, if they're actually eliminated and it's Week 18, I could see a scenario where Mahomes would not play. Now, you can say Mahomes is not going to agree to that, but I'm just... You don't think there's a chance Minshew plays at all Week 18? I think there is.
Oh, I think it's possible.
Would require them being actually eliminated before then.
Here are the standings as they sit right now. The Denver Broncos and New England Patriots are tied at 11-2. Currently, the Broncos hold the tiebreaker with a better conference record, partially because they've played one more conference game at the moment. Then you've got a trio of 9-4 teams, the Jags, the Chargers, and the Bills. Jags lead their division. Mm-hmm. Bills and Chargers don't. Steelers leading their division at 7-6. Forget the North. Just one of those two teams, them or the Ravens, will end up finishing in that spot. So you are down to Chargers, Bills, Texans, Colts, Ravens, who are also 6-7, and you. You have the tiebreaker against the Ravens. Doesn't really matter. The win at 4-0. What really stands out here is I think we know the playoff teams, and I think it's the seven. Are you going to say that? It's the seven teams who are actively in the playoffs.
Yeah, we talked off air yesterday.
Is someone else?
Yeah, we talked about off air yesterday. I'm with you. I think the seven teams are already in. And this conversation, to me, is just more about everybody. Like, I have no interest in entertaining scenarios for the Chiefs at this point. It's over. We're wasting our time if we're trying to still talk through that. And it got even worse after last night with the Chargers.
Way worse after last night.
I think other than maybe a seed change, right? Maybe the Bills end up as the 5 instead of the 6. I think we know the 7 teams. We were out on the Colts before the Daniel Jones injury, and now we're talking about Phillip Rivers maybe coming in and starting, for crying out loud. So I think the Texans with that defense, they still could even win the division, but I think they'll be a wild card. I think the Jags and Texans are both in. I think the Chargers and Bills are in. And then the Steelers are going to hold off the Ravens. So it's going to be those 7 teams. The question will be, is it going to be Buffalo going to Pittsburgh for wild card weekend, in my opinion? Or is it going to be the Chargers going to Pittsburgh wild card weekend? I actually think that's really the only debate. And then, of course, the Broncos-Patriots. Who's going to ultimately be the number one seed? And right now, the Broncos have the tiebreaker, and they will have any tiebreaker, by the way, over the Patriots if they finish with the same record. So
yes,
the Patriots are going to have to hope the Broncos slip up. Otherwise, it'll be Denver getting a first-round bye and only needing Bo Nix to win 2 home games to get himself to his first Super Bowl.
What's most interesting about this to me is the way the playoffs are currently shaping up, Aaron Rodgers would have the most experience in the playoffs not a mile, because Josh Allen's been in the playoffs a good amount. But, I mean, certainly the most. And like, if you're the Bills, if you're not going to win your division, there is no better scenario set up for you than this. The quarterbacks would be Nix, May, Lawrence, 41 or 2-year-old Aaron Rodgers, Herbert, who's never even won a playoff game, and CJ Stroud. Like, again, if you can't get through that field, I'll just tell you, if this is the playoff field and it's Sunday today, I'd pick the Bills to go to the Super Bowl. Like, am I really? It almost never works that Drake May or Bo Nix gets to the Super Bowl. Almost never. Is that how it works in the league? Get through it.
Yes. I don't know.
That's the only thing is the Bills are wildly inconsistent. And so are these other teams.
Their defense stinks.
But their defense is, their defense is a big problem.
If they play Denver, I know that Bo Nix is not the type of quarterback, but Denver's defense is so good that game might be 13-10.
Yeah, I think a lot of this, I get why you would choose the better quarterback. My only question would be, are the Bills the 6 or the 5 seed? Because if they're the 5 seed, Cody, then I feel more confident in predicting that they'll find a way to get over the hump. Because as a 5 seed, if you're Buffalo,
you take on the Steelers.
If you're a 6 seed, you're saying, well, Jacksonville. Believe it or not, I actually think the Jags can be a little tricky in that. And then after that, unless the 7 seed wins, you're headed to, to Denver. So I just... We'll see what the Patriots and Bills, I guess for me, I want to see what the Bills look like in the rematch against the Patriots this weekend, guys, because if the Bills lose comfortably to New England for a second time this year, and this game, is this in New England or Buffalo? Do you guys remember? This is in New England, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
I think the other one was in Buffalo. Didn't they beat him in Buffalo?
I think so.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, if Buffalo loses again in New England, then why do I think the third time's the charm? I think...
I don't know. Remember, that was like the old adage for the longest
time. But it wasn't Mahomes versus Allen. We're talking about May versus... You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same of the... Like, Josh Allen in this spot. If he loses twice, it's way more telling to me, because then it's not happening. Like, before, you'd be like, all right, well, you're facing Mahomes. It is what it is. There's something there that Mike Vrabel has on you, in my opinion, if you're the Bills.
Is this... I know we'll probably get to it when the time comes, I guess, in the playoffs, but is this actually a bigger test of legacy for Josh Allen than it is going up against Patrick Mahomes? Because if, to your point, Cody, let's say they play Jacksonville and they lose in the divisional round, is he ever going to be, because we've seen him compared to Mahomes, some people think he's better than him now. Is it a bigger hit to his legacy if he loses in the playoffs in the divisional round than if you were to actually beat Mahomes and get to a Super Bowl? Because I feel like if you lose to Trevor Lawrence or any of those guys go and they get to a Super Bowl and they win it and you still don't have one. If Trevor Lawrence goes to a Super Bowl, Cody, and wins, if the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, Trevor Lawrence will have more appearances and a Super Bowl over Josh Allen. I feel like that it might be more devastating of a hit than it would be a pump up if he beat Mahomes compared to losing to one of those guys.
We'll do this conversation as the playoffs start and the Chiefs aren't in it. I'm sure it'll take place. But like let's do the little pre-work this through, because what you're saying, without question, in the AFC playoff field specifically, the most pressure on any quarterback in the playoffs would be Josh Allen.
Right.
I think Aaron Rodgers is second just because he's a million years old and only has so many other cracks at this thing. But also he has a Super Bowl ring, so maybe it's Justin Herbert. Right. But like, it's still Josh Allen gap than anybody else because
the whole season,
you know,
Cody,
he's just too good.
The
just
whole
too
season,
good to not have done anything with
before
it.
The year started, their schedule, and it ended up being the Patriots as well, but their schedule for Buffalo was so, you know, favorable to mm-hmm. them that I was like, hey, if you can't be the number one seed this year, then what's going on? And we know they're not going to be the number one seed. They're going to be a 5 or 6 seed, it looks like, in Buffalo. So that was the first thing. Like, you couldn't, and this year was wide open for you. You didn't have to deal with Mahomes. And you're not going to be a one seed. You're going to be a wild card team. Here come the Patriots. And then, yeah, you're right. If the Bills were to not get to the Super Bowl this year, it's not only really damning for Sean McDermott, but it obviously would be really damning for Josh Allen and where it goes. Now, I don't think it's, you know, sometimes we do this, and this is where Drew and I disagree, I think. If Josh Allen loses to Trevor Lawrence, it doesn't mean that we vault Lamar and Burrow and everybody in front of Josh Allen.
I agree.
Like, we don't need to do that.
Eject everybody. Yeah. You know.
And honestly, I don't think that means that Trevor Lawrence is better than Josh Allen because
exactly.
he beat him one time.
Exactly.
But I think in terms of how we view his tenure to his career to this point, I know that they've made the playoffs all these times, but for him to not make it one time, and then especially if it were this time,
yeah, it'd
I
be
mean,
damning. It would be damning.
Very much so.
It'd be damning. It just doesn't change like my QB rankings, I guess.
Yeah,
is what
I don't think it would do it for that way either. Yeah.
It's just weird because Josh Allen is a weird example of he wins a bunch in the regular season, wins the division all the time, has had a ton of success, has an MVP. And if he were just the kind of quarterback who did all those things and then crapped the bed when it came to the playoffs, you'd be like, well, here's the problem. He plays awesome. I have eyes. I've watched Josh Allen play in the playoffs. And with the exception of maybe the one game against Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's not wide or losing.
He has been tremendous.
It's usually
in
a
the
Sean
playoffs.
Usually a Sean McDermott or defensive problem.
Yeah, it's like something else fails him. Yeah. It's not him. He goes down the field and gives him a go-ahead touchdown with 13 seconds to go. He wasn't standing on the field as Mahomes went down there and kicked a field goal in that time. It's like, it's so tough when you watch him.
Where it gets really interesting, if the Bills, you tell me, were to lose in wild card weekend. That's when the Sean McDermott stuff gets
fired. I think you'd have to lose
in wild card. If you lose wild card weekend, that's when we're talking about them having a new head coach. Yeah. And oddly enough, I actually think Sean McDermott absolutely has been a big reason why they haven't got to where they need to go.
Same.
And so if that happens as someone that is in Kansas City, and if you're worrying about that long term, I think you should want, just like I said with Zach Taylor, you should want Zach Taylor to coach the Bengals as long as possible, and you should want Sean McDermott to coach the Bills as long as possible.
They can do worse than Sean McDermott, but they can definitely do better. So, like, I don't want to take the risk that Josh Allen actually gets a great coach. I'm with you. Meanwhile, you did not go to the KUMU game at noon on
Sunday. I was at the
Sunday.
Chiefs game Sunday night, yeah.
But you and I, we missed something in it because, look, I was excited. KUMU, Darren Peterson was coming back. He played awesome, by the way, in that game. And easily, in his 23 minutes, they were plus minus was through the roof. So just a good basketball player, and they're a good team. They're a threat to win a national championship with him. You and I had said part of the reason we like the T-Mobile games is you and I were both at the charity game. 10 years ago or whatever.
I wasn't
there,
but I was watching on TV when it was,
I was
on
there.
You had to get it through like the YouTube app or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was like
in the
weird
middle of COVID when they were doing it for charity. And so I remember sitting in that arena and the atmosphere was cool because it's half MU, half KU. We pitched Drew on this idea. Only to find out that's not how they're doing it.
No. And I guess we were all way off on this. It was a KU home game. It was through a KU ticket package and everything, or it was offered through them. You had to still pay extra, but it was offered through them. And it was 85-90% KU fans. This was not the charity game set up. This was not like the bragging rights game if you're a Missouri fan with Illinois. This was not like certainly the Red River rivalry where it's half and half at the Cotton Bowl. It wasn't. So the same thing when if they're playing at T-Mobile Center, then they'll have the ticket rights and all that. I think that sucks. Well, why are we playing this game at T-Mobile? This go campus sites. The whole point I thought by playing at T-Mobile Center was you were going to create this kind of true neutral type of site where both fan bases were going to be standing right next to each other, essentially at midcourt, and where it splits, and it's going to be this great atmosphere.
It was just a Kansas home game.
Yeah.
With some Missouri
fans.
And then
go play it in Lawrence and then go play it in Columbia play it in Lawrence and then back to Columbia. What are we doing?
The neutral site thing only works for me if you agree to sell half the tickets to each and make it that. And then, like, this is fairly easy. I don't even know why we had to pretend like it's 1 year. You play every year because you're Missouri and Kansas, and you had until you changed conferences, one of, and I don't blame Missouri, they did the right thing for themselves, but you had, up until that point, one of the longest standing rivalries in the entire sport. So it's fairly easy, Gold. One in Lawrence, one in Columbia, 50-50 ticket share in Kansas City, and then every 3 years, you just continue to rotate it like that, right? Like, you know.
Yeah, I was trying to look. I was trying to look up what the agreement is, what they already have locked down moving forward, because it's not set up. It's a six year agreement. Yeah, 6 year agreement is where they agreed to do this, and future extension as of late 2020. Yeah, they're talking about extending it. Basically, two neutral site games. They already played one in 2020, 2021. 2025, 2026 was this year. Allen Fieldhouse. Was this the last one? Yeah, it concluded its initial 6 year agreement. This was the last from
people
the initial 6 year.
People think they're going
to
re-up it?
But they have not. That's what I was trying to double check. They have not announced that they have moved forward with another, you know, 6 year agreement. So this was technically the last one as of now.
I'd be incredibly disappointed if they.
And then we know football, they're going to, it's, there's a few year gap. It goes like that. That agreement's a little bit different.
Doesn't make any sense to me either, but I think it's hard because you have to schedule so many things in the SEC now. You can only get Missouri or Kansas on your schedule so often. This is, again, this just goes back to the bigger issue with college athletics and the way these conferences
someone
are going.
Said
you can't keep natural rivalries. Yeah,
someone said you guys sound like Fran Fraschilla. He was complaining about this the entire game. How can he control the secondary market the same way they do it in? You think the Cotton Bowl doesn't have a secondary market? You think the Bragg and Rights game in Illinois,
the Rose Bowl?
That the secondary market, sure, it's there's nothing preventing me from buying a ticket and in a seat where the Mizzou section would be. You're right. But that the way they sell the tickets, Kansas would have an allotment of, I don't know, T-Mobile holds what?
50%.
18,000, 19,000. Yeah. You would have 9,000 seats roughly, you know, with Kansas's athletic department, and you give Missouri 9,000 seats. That's who initially would get it. And yeah,
maybe go 60-40, but it'd be a lot closer than it was on Sunday.
There'd be fans that would sell their ticket that they got, but that would ensure it would be way closer to a 50-50 split. There's a way to do it. We're not like this is reinventing the wheel. Plenty of programs have figured out how to do the half and half.
They did the charity thing here once already, and that's exactly how they did it.
Is it because both schools, though, they want the home field or the home court thing? Is it partially the school's fault where it's like, no, we want this to be a home atmosphere for us, you know, or whatever it is, where the school should just be.
Well, they want to tie in Kansas City, and I get it, right? That's right on the board, right? It's the border war. I get it. I think you are with this for college football specifically. In general, I would rather them just play on campus sites to begin with. But if we're going to tie in Kansas City and T-Mobile, then it needs to be a true neutral site.
Well, I mean, in terms of like the home court, like the Kansas wanted it to be the way that it was on Saturday, and MU, the next time that they play in T-Mobile, wants it to be a favorable crowd for MU rather than it being a 50-50 split. I think the schools might partially be to blame for why the allotment is
sure,
what it is, where
for sure
they can't just come to an agreement where it's blue on one side and yellow and black on the other.
Yeah, someone was correcting. I think people say T-Mobile would be a Mizzou home game next year.
It'd be a majority Mizzou crowd probably.
Correct.
Yeah, that's just kind of lame. Should just be
50-50. I'm just saying it should be what the charity game was. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Way more fun that way.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
You guys ready for this one today?
Sure.
You sure?
I don't know. The way you're saying that makes it sound like it's weird or sexual.
It is weird. It's not sexual.
Oh, okay.
It's weird, though.
That's good, I guess.
A study suggesting that, you know what? Your farts. Okay. The smell?
Mm-hmm.
Could reduce your risk of Alzheimer's by 37%.
I feel like we've heard something like this
before. If it smells more or worse.
This is from Saturday.
Like smelling your own farts or just any farts?
Saturday, December 6th. This is a new article from theindependent.co.uk. Certain amounts of hydrogen sulfide can help protect aging brains from an Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease. Now, the study is a 2021 study, so maybe that's where you've heard it. But this is a new article. But the smelly gas is highly toxic in larger quantities. Smaller doses may provide some serious health benefits. The gas behind the rotten egg smelling stench can help protect aging brain cells from Alzheimer's.
I mean, I don't want to get Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
But at what cost if you got to spend 40 years smelling awful farts?
I think people
farts?
Would do whatever. If you knew that you were a really good chance of not getting Alzheimer's, you'd say, you know what? Whatever the amount is, every once in a while, you got to do what you got to do, you know? They tested mice. They were injected with
hydrogen sulfide carrying compound, which slowly released this throughout the mice's body. The mice were tested for changes in memory and motor function over a 12-week period. Behavior tests on the mice show that these hydrogen sulfide improved cognitive and motor function by 50% compared to mice that did not receive the injections.
Well, can I just get an injection then?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah, I don't know.
Do I have to go the more stomach-turning route?
It's lunchtime.
I don't want to think about that.
You'd rather not do it the natural way.
I mean, natural being relative, I guess.
Until a few years ago, researchers lacked the tools to mimic how the body makes small quantities. Now they have figured out how to mimic that. The compound used in the study shows by correcting brain levels, they could reverse some aspects of Alzheimer's.
Someone says they're going to start canning and selling their farts to old people. I think it's more of a lifetime probably thing. I don't think you can just like start smelling farts at 60 and assume that maybe.
I think it is. They replicated that compound, and so they probably would be able to inject you in the future with it.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, at least seems out of the question.
Says, Cody, you want fart injected into you. If it means he's not getting Alzheimer's, yes, actually.
If it means I'm...
Yes.
I'm going to keep my sanity. Sure.
Alzheimer's is like one of the saddest things to witness. If anybody's ever had a family members that start, you know, what are you talking about, dementia and Alzheimer's, that's terrible.
It's terrible. I mean, it's at the bottom of the list of things you want to deal with in your older age.
Yeah.
One of the first texts. Some of us listen on our lunch break every day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's
sorry about that.
Someone says, make your lunch more appetizing.
Yeah, by the way,
this is
about the compound. This is not saying if you fart more, it helps you. No. It's not that. It's just saying.
Tell that to somebody when you go to the water cooler next. You know, when you're around the water cooler, say this to somebody.
Yeah.
I would give you maybe $500 gold for you to, the next time you're in a crowded elevator, fart and then cite that study. I'd probably pay you $500 if you in a crowded elevator let out an audible fart.
Just ripped one.
And then cited this, that I'm helping you with Alzheimer's. Because they'd probably tell that story for the rest of their lives, that this person in the elevator did that. It would probably be worth it.
Someone says, Human Centipede was onto something.
No.
That show is one of the most disgusting movies. You never watched
it.
Don't.
No, I'm not.
Drew, did you ever watch it?
I never watched it, but
Human
I heard about it
Centipede
enough to know that I don't need to watch it.
It was one of the most disgusting movies I've ever watched in my life. And I understand
the whole thing?
Yes.
Oh.
There was a sequel, I think, as well. I did not watch.
Okay. Disgusting. So Taco is healthy now.
That is the trash of the day. Up next, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I think we got a clearer picture of the future at one position, though, for the Chiefs, and who is not part of that future, or at least cannot be the main part of that future. We'll tell you who that is next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
So, one of the things that is way down the list from Sunday night is probably more of a bigger picture conversation. That's what I want to have here. Because
we're into those now.
That's where we're at. Yeah, this is now already starting to look a little bit towards the future and how you feel about certain things. And yesterday we talked a lot about Travis Kelce and the rough season he's had. I understand receiving statistically is going to look impressive at the end, but it's no secret. He has had three massive drops that led to points, you know, directly, essentially.
Yep.
And that's brutal to watch for someone that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, all of that. We know a year or so ago, Noah Gray got an extension. And last year, I thought there were some signs that would make you believe that, okay, maybe he is somebody that can, well, he's not going to be Travis Kelce. He's not going to be a top three, top five tight end. But could he be someone that you could roll with for a couple years and go from there? Fast forward this year. Now, this past week, in fairness, he was coming off a very, very serious, I thought, concussion in that Colts game, right? That, like, look, every concussion is serious, but that was a really, really ugly hit and yep. fall that he took and clearly was impacted. And so he was back, and I don't know if that's still getting back in the groove what it was. This season and this particular game, I don't know how you can watch Noah Gray and think that, all right, that can be the tight end one next year for the Chiefs if, in fact, Travis Kelce's gone.
No. Look, and we don't have to toss out names yet. We can spend an offseason doing that before somebody inevitably mentions Kyle Pitts and Alex groans. And I can't blame him. Remember, I got off that train there for a while. I mean, if he's just a free agent, I don't really care, but I got off of the, like, let's trade for him and fix him part.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the regression years for Xavier Worthy and the regression year for Rashee Rice, and some of these guys got worse, and the offense has been worse. Noah Gray's taken a bigger drop-off than any of them. He is quite a bit worse than last year's player. He has 17 catches in 12 games this year. He missed one, so like 13 games for the team, but 12 for him. He has 17 catches. So he's good for what? One? And then on an accident game, two catches a game? His yards per target are down. He's half of his yards per game. He's a worse player. And he's getting older. He's 26 years old. As in, like, not old, but,
yeah,
like,
I got you.
He should be improving as a player. And I wanted to think that if Travis Kelce retired, what they would have is a league average tight end. And you'd be surprised how easy it is to be a league average tight end. Guys like Juwan Johnson and a million other guys, they get like 500-600 yards, and they are just like any other tight end in the NFL. Look, they're not Trey McBride or Brock Bowers or the two or three names that are higher on that list. But it's not hard to be a league average tight end. This season has completely cratered my confidence of if they go into the beginning of next year, and let's say Travis Kelce retires, obviously, for the sake of this argument. If they go into the beginning of next year and tight end one is Noah Gray, well, then that better come with you telling me that you did something significant to upgrade your wide receiver room, your weapon room in some capacity.
Yeah.
Because if he's one and it's still just Worthy and Rice and Thornton and, I don't know, Jalen Royals in year two, I'm not overly optimistic on, well, then you've set them up to have a bad weapon group again. You better have somebody of equal or greater footing to Noah Gray, and at least in a timeshare situation. He can't just be the only dude.
Hey, look, I can be realistic about the tight end position moving forward. I mean, I think it'll be unusual for people that have only watched the Travis Kelce era of the Chiefs and don't remember that. And we were very fortunate in Kansas City. You had Tony Gonzalez, and then you had a gap, and they tried a bunch of different names, the Brad Cottoms and Tony Moiakis, et cetera, of the world. And then it was Travis Kelce, and he turned into a Hall of Famer and everything. Whoever the next tight end one is, whenever that day happens, Cody, whether it's Gray, whether it's somebody not on the roster, et cetera, whenever Kelsey hangs it up, and I do think it will be after this year, that player, unfortunately, people are going to expect insane things, and that's just not the norm. So you said it. A league average tight end, you're not going to walk right into another Hall of Fame tight end and the best tight end in football again.
Seems unlikely.
So I guess
you're going to do that a third time?
So I'm just saying, like, can we be realistic with whoever that next guy is with the expectation, though? You don't want to have a bottom five tight end in football, but I'm just saying, let's say that tight end ends up being very average tight end that is a 680 to 750-yard receiver.
It's fine.
That's what most tight ends are in the National Football League.
Like, Juwan Johnson is a top 10 yardage leading tight end. He'll be a free agent this year. Evan Engram was on the street. Didn't work out for Denver. They have not gotten their value out of it. Noah Fant. But in a way, Juwan Johnson and Evan Engram, those are guys who have had far more production than I'm convinced Noah Gray can have. Like, I just think he might need a compliment. Like, what you might need to do is, you can't go in thinking it's tight end one and then there's a gap and then there's tight end two, the way they've been operating for so long. And what you might need is multiple bodies kind of doing the same job or operating in a similar fashion. But this goes back to, like, Benjamin Solak had an article out today, just generally in the NFL. And one of his...
Where's he at now again?
The Ring? Athletic.
Not The Ringer anymore.
I think it's The Athletic now, right?
Is it the ESPN?
It is ESPN.
So that's saying. We just named three places. That's why
is it ESPN? You're right. He did go to ESPN. You're right.
I asked because I couldn't remember. We just named three of them.
Yeah. Benjamin Solak at ESPN had a long article out. And part of this was dedicated to the Chiefs' current offensive issues. Like, hey, how do they solve them? And what he was talking about is, look, I mean, the thing that we said earlier in the show, you got to come to the reality that part of their problem is weapons-based.
Yeah.
And that they just do not have enough dudes. And look at the year after year after year and some of the position groups they've been putting out on the field. So my problem is that if Noah Gray is your tight end one or co-tight end one with someone of equal value, well, then the Chiefs have to upgrade a weapon in a big way this offseason. And I don't know if that, in this article, he mentions, like, swinging for a fence.
Well.
Like, he jokes about trading for Justin Jefferson. Oh, he said, please do not quote me on that. And that's not what he's actually saying.
No, but Cody
is going to happen. But, like, they're going to have to take a bigger swing in a draft or this and make their position known.
I don't know who the name is. I don't know whether that's via free agency or draft. I think there are two clear things on offense. One, they need to find a wide receiver that is capable of winning in man-to-man coverage on a regular basis. And right now, we all know, like, if a defense is running zone, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce right now, even still at this point, those guys can find open spots against zone. Against man, it's a struggle. And that goes back to having a more physically imposing wide receiver that doesn't get pushed around. So
he mentioned this too. Too many players who are the same.
Yes.
Do similar things.
Xavier Worthy.
You need a different type of wide receiver.
Like,
he mentioned Juwan Jennings being different.
Yeah,
just somebody.
Xavier Worthy in this offense absolutely can and should work. And he's got the skill set to work. But you can't have three receivers like him. And that's part of the problem. So I was just saying, the physical receiver. And then you said, Cody, if the tight end is going to be average in the future, which is likely what it will be, well, it gets back to clearly where the league is at, running back. Clearly where the league is at. Like, last night's an example. We were talking about this before the show. I know the Eagles ended up losing, okay? The Chargers beat them in overtime. Saquon Barkley, and he is the elite of the elite, so I'm not suggesting that you can just go find Saquon Barkley's all over the place by any means. But 50-yard touchdown run. Nothing going for that offense, and then he can turn one into a 50-yard run. That's not anywhere in the cards for the Kansas City Chiefs backfield for multiple years. It's
Correct.
Been a very long time.
You're not suggesting like Jeremiah Love, right? You're not suggesting that high or anything.
But he probably is that guy. But whether it's the draft or free agency, they have to recognize that their running game has to have some explosiveness, and it's non-existent. But applaud Kareem Hunt for the effort he put in this. By the way, like, they'd be even more screwed if Kareem Hunt didn't provide them what they did, because he has been very, very important to them for the role that they asked him to serve. But there's no explosiveness in the backfield. They have to go attack the offseason with thinking that that's where the NFL is at in 2025 and 2026. It is not just go ahead and spread everybody out and kind of go with the, what are they, not Legion, yeah, Legion of Zoom type of offense. Yeah. That's not what it is.
Drew, you could probably answer this better than me just knowing the draft situation. Because I've said this before, Gold, and it's way easier than it's ever been. I've made the argument that because of wide receiver and because of offensive tackle, the Chiefs, I think as an organization, are actually better positioned to take this like big, massive swing for a desperate need than any, you know, like the way teams traded for a quarterback. Yeah. The Chiefs, in my opinion, for all those years, could have done for left tackle. If let's say they're picking 14th right now. Is there in this draft a Ja'Marr Chase-esque guy? Because I'll be honest, I think you can make the argument of go up to 8, go up to 6 if there's a dude like that, because you're closer than you've ever been draft pick-wise to get a player like that.
2027 draft has more of those wide receivers than you're talking about.
I would say there are no Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson types of wide receivers, but there are multiple T. Higgins second round wide receiver types.
Yeah, that's not
you want a guy that can go catch the ball? Jordan Tyson, Arizona State.
2027 is the I would put in the stud wide receiver all over the place category.
You want guys that can go catch the ball, though, like go up and get a ball? Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson.
I want someone
that
can throw a
top
back
10 picks. Carnell Tate's going to be like the 8th pick in the draft, probably 7th pick in the draft.
Jordan Tyson is probably a first rounder.
I want to.
He's a guy that would be
the
interesting.
Issue, though. Like, so we're having the offense.
Mekhi Lemon, like, another one that is more of what they currently have. So I would say no to him. But Chris Brazel. He's 6'5", and runs a 4.4.
And that's a completely different type of wide receiver than they've really ever had under Andy Reid, or, you know, in his time in Kansas City. And even going back to Philly, it's pretty rare. We all agree on the type of receiver. I think we all agree. My only thing with the whole trade-up thing that you're mentioning, Cody, is I think you agree with this. Like, still number one priority to me, though, is defensive line in the draft.
Yeah,
and so trade up, fine, to go find an edge rusher. If you think there's an edge rusher that's dominant, but I would be way more interested in them securing a defensive line overhaul with their top pick than trading up for another wide receiver.
I mean, it's still Mahomes in the second round. But even like to your guys' point, though, because obviously Rasheed was a second rounder. They found guys who can play. It's not even necessarily about where they get it. It's the type of guy that they get in that round. So even if it is this, let's say instead of waiting until the fourth to get a guy like Jalen Rose, who also is just like Rasheed Rice in terms of size, getting a guy in the second round, maybe you address the defensive line early. And then in the second round, you find a guy that fits the prototype for a guy that can go up and get the ball a little bit better. Ball tracking is solid, can make a contested catch. Maybe that's a guy that you just take, and he might not be the best at the position, but he's a guy that throws something different at a defense that might end up working out.
Look, there probably isn't like a Tet McMillan or those. And I'm not saying that edge is not the bigger need. It's just, and I thought that this was actually the way they've handled everything since, I don't think was particularly smart. The way they paid everybody. I don't think I would have paid T. Higgins. I would have paid a defensive player. But like when Joe Burrow got hurt and all of a sudden they found themselves picking 9, I don't think it's the worst strategy. Like, when else are you going to get a wide receiver of that talent? But what you're telling me is this draft doesn't have this talent.
That's a good point.
And that's an issue. If it doesn't line up, it doesn't line up. But I thought it was really smart of Cincinnati to be like, you know what? We're pairing these two up for 10 years. They should have done a million other roster things different after that.
Yeah, I'm by no means anti-go get a stud receiver. I'm saying and we can have Bink on much closer to the draft and stuff. And those guys are way more locked into
the
draft.
We're talking human centipede and the draft. Chiefs, you've ruined December for me.
I'm just saying, even as a very, very casual draft, off-season observer, okay, I even know that the 2026 draft is not the best for wide receivers, is all I'm saying, at the top end of the draft. That's all. Carnell Tate, it can be very, very good. I'm just saying, like, if you're thinking that, oh my gosh, there's Chris Olave again, and there's Justin Jefferson again, and there's Ja'Marr Chase again, and there's, you know, Tet McMillan type and all that, that I disagree that exists in the top 10.
Ja'Marr Chase was taken like 25 or whatever.
If you look at big time production, though, in terms of like why wide receivers, like, I don't know where. If you look at the 20, like they've got a bunch of wide receivers who are 20s talent. Like their first, like Jordan Tyson is a first round talent. He's been injured over the last year and a half, but he's as good as any wide receiver in the country when he's fully healthy. Same thing with Mekhi Lemon, who might end up winning who is in the running for the Biletnikoff Award just with Jeremiah Smith. But the problem with Mekhi Lemon, he is Xavier Worthy. He is Rashee Rice. They are the exact
same type
of player.
That's the other thing is, are they willing? Like, I hate having this conversation. This
Mekhi Lemon is the best out of the group, I think.
If the opportunity was there,
is Brett Veach and Andy Reid, are they willing to draft a wide receiver the type that we are all saying we think they need?
The only so
like brought in DeAndre Hopkins in fairness, so, who's basically that guy.
Well, that's of course a trade for a fourth round, fifth rounder midseason.
Yeah. T.O. is the only the last receiver I could think in an Andy Reid offense who describes the size and talent type that we're talking about. He was like 6'3", 220.
And how
pounds.
Good was he with Andy's offense?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Look, I just want exactly. one.
I just don't think a wide receiver, unless they end up acquiring multiple first round picks, either trading down or they trade McDuffie to get multiple first round picks. If you tell me right this second, which is what they have, if they're picking, 15th or 14th and they only have one first round pick without knowing the rest of the board, if a trade down's real, I would not want them spending that pick on a wide receiver. That's all I'm saying.
Not unless not this year. Depending on the year, look, if Jeremiah Love was available and they could trade up to pick number 9 and he was a member of the Chiefs, I'm probably interested. But because that's not the case, I'm not. And that kind of changes the math a little bit too. And I think some of their issue might not even be that the wide receivers aren't talented enough, but they're not diverse enough. I in a weird way can make an argument that, like, let's go back to 2024 or 2023, right? Where I think Xavier Worthy and Justin Watson and Juju Smith-Schuster do more different, and Mecole Hardman and DeAndre Hopkins do more different things than this wide receiver unit does. They're more diverse. And that, I think, is part of my issue, is that they've somehow managed, and I don't know if it was on accident or purpose or they weren't thinking about it, but like MVS and Rashee Rice and McColl in that previous year, they all did different things. You might not love MVS, but they had different skill sets. They possessed different ability. This wide receiver unit feels like they all just want to run the same 6 routes. And it's like they got to have more diversity. Well,
The only good thing is moving ahead, contract wise, only Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Jalen Royals really are under contract. Yeah. So no matter what, the wide receiver room is going to be different next year, whether they do it through draft, free agency, or otherwise.
In fairness, though, is Cody, is that a scheme thing or is that a talent thing? Because we saw Xavier Worthy do everything at Texas. He has not done everything for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've seen Rashee Rice's average catch, I think at SMU Senior, was like 20 yards.
I don't know, but it's like college.
And they threw the ball up, and he went and got it. But the problem is they don't use him that way.
I know, but like in college, like it's just so hard to translate, because in college it all looks like they're doing everything because they're just superior athletes to everyone else. You know, for the same reason like a quarterback might have thrown it all over the yard but doesn't once they get to the pros. It's... I get your point, but it's tough. And then, look, we're stuck with the reality here anyway, that you and I both agree that this is probably, I think, end of Dynasty 1 now. Like, as soon as they, and if you wanted to say as soon as they don't officially make the playoffs, fine. Cool, we're in. And even though they could go back to the playoffs, they could win the division, short of winning the Super Bowl next year, because then I would have obviously been wrong. If they win the Super Bowl next year, then you and I prematurely called Dynasty 1 over. I just think they have so much roster stuff to deal with that they could be a playoff happening. Team next year.
Yeah.
That we're a couple years away from completely riding this ship.
Yeah. And it is just going to be 1 year of, at this point in time, of not getting to a Super Bowl, not getting to an AFC title game. All I am saying, and I think you're saying, is that the reason why it feels like it's the end of this current run is because next year, just out of necessity with where your contracts on the books are and who's not on the books, you're going to have to reset. However, you may not like the terminology I'm using, rebuild, reset, whatever. We can come up with different words to describe essentially what we're all talking about. They will have to pivot in a different direction, whether it's a minimum player personnel, maybe with some internal staff stuff. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to do that or not. That is just naturally going to happen this offseason. It's time to pay the price, unfortunately, of what they were willing to do to try to win. And they won a lot. They won as much as anybody over the last 30 years.
I wouldn't undo it.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't rewind. This is not me.
Like, I know people are upset with Brett Veach and mistakes have been made, but also, like, what he and Andy Reid and this organization put together is still one of the greatest dynasties we've seen in sports. That's a fact. That doesn't go away. But now it gets difficult. It's going to be an uncharted territory for the new Chiefs fan that's out there. And they're going to have to try to do this correctly to where it's not hopefully a 3+ year not being a real contender run. How can they make it to where it's only a one-off? And I'm not talking about just this year. Guys, I'm talking about it being 25 and 26. And hopefully in 27, you're in a really good spot to be full go again. That's how I view it. Without seeing what they're going to do in the offseason,
yeah.
That's how, like, if I had a guess, When do I think they will legit be a true Super Bowl contender again? I think 2027 is the earliest. That's all.
Yeah, and I don't think it'd be any longer than that just because they have Patrick Mahomes. Look, if they get a perfect draft, and this is the part that I'm, you know, like in the draft case, is it going to be easier to overhaul a draft situation in which you have multiple picks and they're all way higher than we're used to? Because we all talk about where the first round picks like, wow, they're picking 14th. That also makes they're picking 44th. That's not far off from what they've been picking in the first round.
It's basically the first, right, Cody?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know where you guys round in your basically a first, third, second. But it's not that far off. So, like, all of a sudden, they're looking for, with their second round pick, they are looking at a similar crop of talent as they've been looking at with their first round pick, especially considering some of the trade backs or where they've been. And hell, they haven't even had a first round pick in half the years that Brett Veach has been the GM. So half the years he's been the GM, they haven't even had a first round pick. From the trades for Frank Clark, for the trades for Patrick Mahomes and everyone else in between, they haven't even had them anyway. And so, you know, like every first round pick they've had has been between 20 and mostly 30, 31, 32 during their run. So this is going to be a vastly different draft year. Now, maybe we'll talk about it later in the week.
No, we got months, man.
It is going to be a can't miss draft year for Brett Veach. You don't want anyone question the job you do anymore. You better not screw this one up if you're picking.
There's a lot of pressure. There's no question. Yeah. A lot of pressure. All right, up next, guys. We'll get to what's trending. I want to get back into the Colts, including a 44-year-old possibly quarterbacking the Colts here in the very near future, and then we get to all 32 right here on Cody and Gold.
You know how in football timing is everything. You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.